The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
That's what we call a failure to communicate. I gave her that big buildup. That's fairly disappointing, isn't it, Randy?
It was.
Do I need to do it again?
All that fanfare.
Okay, let me see if we have Coach now. Coach, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Paul.
Okay, well, I started off by congratulating you on yesterday. That must have been quite an experience for you and obviously all of your fans and your players.
It was. I think the SEC should be proud of what both South Carolina and LSU were able to accomplish, and us playing on Super Bowl Sunday was something great. I'd like to see what the numbers look like.
Well, we're going to probably know early tomorrow, and my guess, Coach, is that they are going to be astronomical. Considering it really, and we'll talk about the Super Bowl later, but I mean, it was the best sporting event on east of Arizona. And I was watching, and I want you to tell us what it was like inside that place, because it just seemed like the atmosphere was really one of the best you folks have had there. And you've had a lot of great ones.
The way our fans show up, and I know a lot of people don't see what happens prior to them actually opening the doors to our arena. Yesterday was pretty special. They opened them up an hour and a half before the game, and they're outside chanting "Game Cock." Like two and a half hours before the game, there were some LSU fans there as well. They were throwing up their L's. It was just great for women's basketball. And then when you get inside, our fans weren't going to let us lose at all. And they did their job. They've done that for the past 8 years, as we are the leaders in attendance right here in Columbia, South Carolina.
Coach, I know how hard you've worked, and you know, this has not been easy. Nothing is. But I mean, do you ever get have a moment on a day like yesterday to just appreciate the journey that you and so many others have made, but you in particular, and I mean, you're seeing it pay off. Obviously, you want to keep winning, and you will. But that just seemed like a standalone moment. What is it like for you during times like that, when you walk out there and you look around and you think about where it all began?
I really don't think about where it began. I don't. I just savor the moment like we're in. Like, I really take my time. I come out of the tunnel and I walk along our bench. I can do nothing but pound my chest and thank our fans for showing up. But also, I'm so proud of our team. Like, this team plays basketball the right way. They play much, much better than I ever could, meaning not just the game, just the whole sportsmanship, because I don't know if I'm helping somebody up every time they fall. But our young ladies run up to them, they'll block their shot, and then they'll give them a hand, picking them up off the floor. When in our day, there's so many other players that will relish in the fact that I blocked somebody's shot, so let me just stick it to them. Let me just look at them a little bit longer. Let me just high-five the crowd. When our players, it's just par for the course. This is what they do. And I'm just so happy they set the example of how to play the game at a really high level and show the example of what this game is all about.
Talking to Don Staley, Coach, I don't want to spend too much time going backwards, but you're back and forth, and certainly you weren't really – it wasn't a back and forth. You were simply responding with Geno last week after the UConn game made national news. And I just wanted to have you – just to make sure everyone has heard you clearly on this, just – to go back for a moment and have you talk about some of the things that you said and in your defense of your program, especially with his comments in the aftermath of that game.
I really don't want to go back down there because I set my piece. Which is I'm all about protecting our players. I'm all about protecting the integrity of our game. Do we play physical? Absolutely, we play physical. Do we do it the right way? Absolutely. For us, we're going to continue to do it that way. If you really don't like how we play, then you have to adjust. We've done it plenty of times. Like, plenty of times we've adjusted. And we're probably going to have to adjust next year because we're not going to have the same team that we have this year. So we got to adjust. And that's what we've done for the 15 years that I've been here at South Carolina. And I'm proud to know the team that we coach. And I'm proud to coach the team that steps on the floor every single day. And I'm going to protect them every time that I can. When they are seen and talked about in a light that's something other than doing it the right way.
Coach, do you think it's just a not to belabor that point, but this is not unusual territory for you, but it just seems like some of it comes with the success. You are well into what many people think is the new dynasty in women's basketball. Do you have any other objective other than just protect your players? What else can you think about, I guess, at a time like this?
I mean, I only think about our players. I'm not thinking about us being this or that in women's basketball. I just want to do things the right way. I've always just wanted to just have some integrity about how we do things, how protecting the game. I'm all about that. Even if it's at our expense, I want to protect the integrity of our game. And if things look a certain way or sound a certain way, that doesn't line up with the integrity of the game, I'm going to say something. So that's how I'm going to approach it. Because it's not about just South Carolina. It's about our game. This is the game that we, for as long as I've been around it, playing, coaching, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to find a place where people actually treat us like a sport. And if we don't treat ourselves that way, we're not respectful of each other, no one's going to respect our game. So we got to lift each other up. We got to make sure that we're only putting our game in a good light because people do like to talk about all the more so than the game, all the other risks that come with it. And really, I'm not for it. I just don't have a tolerance for it.
Chatting with Don Staley, Coach. Before you go, you were certainly sporting the Randall Cunningham jersey yesterday. We saw you the other night in Eagles green as well. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall where you were watching the game when that controversial call came late in the Super Bowl. Can you let us in on how you reacted?
Well, I mean, Paul, you don't make that call. I know what our DB said about it, but you just don't. Or you look at it really long. It's okay to throw that flag a little bit late, but there's no way that receiver was getting to that ball. There's no way. So I think our officials need to let the game, and I hope I don't get fined, let the game
no, you're clear.
Be decided by the players. I mean, they were in the red zone. Mahomes is going to do his thing regardless of that yellow flag being tossed out there. So let him do it.
I'm curious about somebody who plays in you've been in so many big games and championship games, and you'll likely be in another one. And there's this debate in sports in general, but since you've played the game at the highest level and now coach it at the highest level, Olympics aside, how cognizant of the moment of the game, the time of the game, the situation of the game, should officials be, or should they just look at every play as it's being played?
I mean, they're human. You have to be aware of time and score, right? They wear those devices to stop the clock. I mean, they are very aware of how many fouls that a star has. You can't tell me they don't. You can't tell me they're not aware of it. So Super Bowl should be heightened. It should be heightened. It should be the very best officials out there. And was it a hold? For a second. For a second, it was a hold. For a second. But these are, you know, these are talented players on both sides of the football. I mean, they're talented officials as well. But you got to let that one go. You got to let that one go. It was a fourth down. I mean, they had another down. Mahomes is, you know, the MVP of the NFL. Let him go to work. Let him do it. Let him walk in his truth. Let him play the game out. That's just me, though. That's just a sore loser Eagles fan.
Well, I tell you what, Coach. We love talking to you as the head coach, but you're. Whenever you retire, we want you to be a caller to this show because you would be number one.
Well, I'll do that. I'll do that, Paul. Thank you for always having me on.
Coach, we love having you. Congratulations again. We can't wait to watch as you get ready for the SEC tournament and the NCAA. Be well. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Staley. I have to say, that was entertaining, talking about the Eagles. Everyone knows she's a huge Eagles fan, and she was having none of that call late in the game, as you could tell. I mean, none of it. I think she was generous in terms of how she reacted. Can you imagine her in real time? Somebody must have screamed, get a hold of her phone. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Augie is up next in New Orleans. Augie.
Sorry about that, Paul. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry about that. Hey, Paul, one of your favorite college football characters is in high demand these days. After you helped run him out of Starkville, it seems like Joe Moorhead's doing pretty well for himself.
Joe received a contract extension. He's turned down Saban. He's turned down somebody else, too. Maybe in the NFL. I can't remember. But, I mean, yeah, he's suddenly got hot.
So he's actually been rehabilitated without having to go through Tuscaloosa.
And speaking of that, though, Augie, I was reading something today by Rittenberg. He's doing a hot seat column for next year. And he has the coach at Arkansas State on the hot seat for next year.
Wow. Why would that even make the list? The Arkansas State. No, who is that now?
Who is Butch Jones?
Oh, that's right.
I mean, I'm like going, have we seen this movie before? I mean, Butch Jones again on the hot seat?
Can you imagine going from Tennessee, then to Arkansas State, and being put on the hot seat. Next thing you know, he's going to be at some NAIA school, the Dr. Jones College of Theology.
Yeah,
he's going to be
end up getting run out of Arkansas State, which has put in coaches like Malzahn, Hugh Freeze. I mean, there is just a long line of Arkansas State coaches that have been very successful. Then you're even Nick Saban wouldn't take you back in the analyst room after that.
But Paul, college football has really in the last.
Oh, I forgot. Harsin was at Arkansas State too.
Yeah, was he?
I think he
was. I don't even remember that. See, I even forgot Harsin. Who's that? That's how long he was at Auburn. I don't even remember the guy. But I mean, college football in the last 10 years, and if you go back 30 years. It's just totally been turned in its head. I mean, you're talking now where Notre Dame is actually looking to hire the offensive coordinator from Utah. I mean, 50 years ago, would that have even been possible?
No. No, it's a different game. And coordinators are very specialized, like they are in the NFL.
But it is just crazy the way things have turned themselves around. Before I want to get to the Super Bowl, but not the Super Bowl itself, but of Jalen Hurts. So Jalen Hurts plays most of his career at Alabama. He gets taken out of the biggest game of the year because, let's face it, Saban lost confidence in him. They bring in Tua. The rest is history. But since that moment, Tua never won another national championship. So Hurts is now playing as the quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. And Bama fans claim him as theirs. How do you view that? Is that a little two-faced?
Yeah, when he completed that late pass to Devontae Smith, I could just hear Alabama rising up. First of all, Jalen does have a degree from Alabama. He did play there 3 years. It's hard to say. When you have a degree from a school, it's hard to say you're not part of that university.
But, Paul, was that not a huge humiliation, getting pulled out of that game at halftime?
Yeah. There's never been one quite like that.
And then for him to make this, let's face it, last year, I don't even recall him playing much for the Eagles. But, I mean, this year he was – I mean, if he was the MVP of the league, I would not have been.
Well, he came in second. So I mean, he had an amazing year. Mahomes won.
I mean, an absolutely amazing year, and I thought he played great last night. I mean, that fumble. Come on, everybody fumbled.
That fumble really was not a factor in the game.
I don't think so. And by the way, I do think that penalty was a penalty and properly called. But nonetheless, all about Jalen. Would you have expected him to get to the Super Bowl as a starting quarterback before Tua?
No, not when the debate was going on about whether. Remember tanking for Tua? That was you heard that all the time.
I forgot.
There's some question whether Tua will play or should play ever again.
Yeah, I don't know. And as for Joe Burrow, he'll never ever win. He may not even get back to the Super Bowl if the Bengals don't invest in an offensive line.
No, you're right.
The guy killed.
You're 100% correct. Augie, great to have you back. Thanks so much. Let's check in Jerry up next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Good to talk to you today.
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to thank you for the thank you card you sent me over sending you those pictures.
Oh, well, thank you for mentioning that.
Hey, well, I never thought of all the, you know, you've got the top radio sports show on TV, you know, jillions of celebrities, and take just a few minutes time to thank a little old country old man like me meant a lot to me.
And Jerry, it meant a lot to us that you would take the time to send us those pictures, so I appreciate you saying that.
Well, let me speak just a little bit about Nick Saban, if you don't mind.
Of course.
I'll try not to take up too much time. Did you by any chance, or have you seen that Nick's award show where they recognize, you know, great college coaches for their achievements?
I have not seen that, no.
I watched it the other night, and it was really, really touching. He recognized, of course, Vince Dooley and Bill Snyder from Kansas State, who I think, had he ever been able to get the players at Alabama and Georgia, all them, no telling what that little old man could have done, because he's a great coach.
Well, I did see where Derek Dooley was there representing Vince, so I thought that was nice. I saw an article on, but I did not see the show. Jerry, thank you. I'll see if I can find that. I would definitely like to watch it.
And also, like about I Man and some called in, Hayden Saban and all, and I know he can ruffle feathers sometimes, but I think about the things he's done for the people. How many millions of dollars maybe he's took up for niche kids and building homes for people in need down there. And I think he needs to be recognized for that. But I believe when he retires, and you were to ask him what was his greatest achievements, I don't think it would be six or seven national championships or how many games he won. I believe it would be all the people that he was able to help that was in need.
Jerry, I think you're right about that. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. We appreciate it. Great to hear from you. We're heading to a break. We have a really special guest talking about Pat Summitt and the special that will be running a little bit later on the Southern Hoops series. We're coming right back with Mickey DeMoss.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And don't forget, Southern Hoops tonight, and we want to talk about that now with Mickey DeMoss, who has been a head coach twice in the Southeastern Conference, but best known as the longtime and legendary assistant under Pat Summitt at Tennessee, having a big role in, I think, five national championships there. Mickey, thank you very much. It's always great to connect and talk about Pat Summitt. I know it's a subject that you've spent a lot of your life speaking about, and I know you did it again for this piece that will air later. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. And talking about Coach Summitt is I think, I'm sure it's both difficult and a labor of love, something that you can't help but talk about, being who you are and what you've done. But as you reflect on, as you reflected back on that in this piece, take us through your journey with Coach Summitt.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even talk about my career without talking about Pat. Having spent 20 years with her at Tennessee and learning from her and being around her on a daily basis, she became much more than just a boss. You know, she was one of my very best friends, like a family member, and that's kind of how she ran her program. But you know, just to be able to learn from her, to experience the success, unprecedented success, that we had at Tennessee. We did things that other programs had not done at that point, and it was an unbelievable journey for me, and it was such a big part of who I am today, and the coach that I was able to become. I have to give her so much of the credit, and, you know, I miss her daily. You know, she was just a huge part of my life and so many other people's lives, and I made such a great difference in so many of the young ladies that came through our program and their lives.
Mickey, you spent such an extended period there, and I think a lot of people, that they hear players talk about her and coaches talk about her, and it sounded scary, but I know there was much more to it. Being there so long, were you being a friend and being a family member, but she was still Pat Summitt, was she not?
Yeah, you didn't want to get on the bad side, let's just say that. There were times, but you came to know her heart. She stood for her principles, never wavered. And so you knew that, you know, her bark sometimes was pretty loud. But, you know, it was always, you know, for the good. It was always for a principle that she believed in. It was if a player was not working hard enough or some disloyalty or dishonest, it's always about values that really upset her. It was always the bigger picture. And, she was very adamant about details. I mean, I think that's obviously what separates good coaches from great coaches. And she paid attention to a lot of the details. And if we had players that didn't really want to pay attention to those details, that would put them in the doghouse real fast. I mean, we had a player, Abby Conklin, that was a great shooter, but not a great defender. And always, you know, had a reason why she didn't defend somebody the way that she should have. And Pat, we were in the coach's locker room one day, and it was a small room, and Pat had a cup of water, drinking, sipping on a cup of water, and Abby said something to her that Pat did not like, and she reared back with that water cup, and fortunately, at the last minute, she changed her mind from throwing it at Abby, and it hit between Holly Warlick and I, right between the two of us, and splattered all over the wall. So,
that was okay.
That was all right. That was we could handle it. We could handle some sprinkles, but we were really glad that she didn't throw the water at Abby, and I think Abby was too. So,
Mickey, when in dealing with her, I'm sure great assistants, you understand this as a head coach. I mean, they do have to listen. When you had to go to her and say, "Coach, come on, you've got to let off a little bit on these poor players. I mean, they're out there dying." Would she listen to what you had to say?
She did. She did. And, you know, I think that's what was a part of our success, was that we had a balanced staff. We really did. And, we had good cop, bad cop. And I think Pat would push players to a limit that they never thought they could go to. And that was part of what made her so great. And she had them believe in things that they could do that they never thought in a million years that they could do. And at times it would, you know, she would push them to a point that maybe I would think, okay, that's enough, far enough, you know. And there were many times people would say, you know, like now working for different coaches and being around coaches, and they're like, "Well, guy, you and Pat you seem like y'all always agreed." And I said, oh, no. And in front of the players, we were always on the same page, and in the media or the public, but there were many times behind closed doors we would have a difference of opinion about how to handle players. And there were times, and I really think Pat was ahead of her time. I really do. I don't think I realized it at moments, but she had a pulse on her players like nobody else. She knew buttons that she could push. She knew how far she could push certain players, and certain players that obviously she couldn't push as hard.
Mickey, before you go, I would like to ask about the personal side of her. Obviously, you worked with her son at your alma mater. You knew the family. You saw a Pat Summitt that most of us never came close to seeing. What was she like when you finally got her away from the team and the bright lights and all the attention?
Mm-hmm. I tell you, she was a wonderful person. And that's, I mean, she would give you the shirt off of her back, stop and help. She never saw, she would stop and help a stranger on the side of the road that had a flat tire, because growing up on that farm, she knew how to, you know, she could drive tractors, she could fix tires, change carburetors. It didn't matter. She could, wasn't much she couldn't do. And so if she felt like somebody needed help, it didn't matter. I mean, it just didn't matter what it was, from visiting with the President of the United States, speaking for the CIA, or helping a stranger on the side of the road change a flat tire. And you saw that. I know, just quickly after I started working for her, no job was too big or too small for her. If a player came in and was having trouble with their meal card, she would sit down and take the time to figure out what was the problem with the milk cart. And I can remember saying, Pat, just why don't you let me do that stuff? Let me, you know, you don't have to do all the, no, I don't mind. I don't mind doing that. It was just, she was just the most authentic person that you would ever want to meet. And I think she had such a loyal friendship base, fan base, because of who she was. And she always wanted to promote the women's game. We always played the toughest schedule in the country. It was like an NBA schedule at times. We would play back-to-back on the road, play UCLA, then fly to Arizona and play Arizona. And I said, why are we doing this? You know, we're getting ready for March. We're getting ready for March. I don't care. I don't care about November. She was always wanting to do, and if a TV, you know, because back in the 80s and 90s, you know, there wasn't a lot of major TV options for women. And any opportunity we had to play on television, she was gonna take that opportunity to promote the game and help other coaches do the same. So I think it was her heart, who she was as a person. And she just happened to be a basketball coach and a dang good one. But it was the person that she was. And I think that's something, you know, being around that every single day, it was genuine, because I kept thinking, okay, when is she going to have one of those days that she's not going to quite live up to these principles that she talks about all the time? But I never saw it. I never saw it. She was very resilient with those things, and I think, again, that's what separated her too. Every day walking into practice and having that resiliency to hold those players to a certain standard and her staff to a certain standard, that never wavered. It never wavered. And that was something that was also very special about her as well.
What a fantastic conversation with Mickey DeMoss about Coach Pat Summitt. More later this evening on Southern Hoops, the fabulous deep dive into the history of SEC mm-hmm. basketball.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Philip is up next. Good afternoon to you, Philip.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time and answering my call.
Thank you.
I just want to comment on last night's halftime show.
Okay.
Super Bowl. How could any moral person, let alone a Christian, subject their children and their family to something like that. No wonder we have children not knowing whether they're a boy or a girl.
Philip, hold on just a second before you get too deep into your diatribe here. Are you familiar with music today? I mean, tell me about your playlist.
Oh, I'm familiar with what was vulgar.
No, I'm just asking you if you're familiar with modern music.
No.
What was the last concert that you attended?
About 1976.
And do you remember who the group was?
No, I don't.
Okay. Was it a rock group? Was it a Christian group? Was it a folk group? Was it a big band group?
Remember. Probably country.
Country?
Yes, sir.
So who was your favorite country artist back then?
Hank Jr., I guess.
In the 70s, Hank Jr.? Okay, maybe.
I think he was. Yeah, well, maybe it's Hank. I listened to Hank Sr. a lot.
Yeah, well, we all did. So, Philip, do you listen to modern country today?
No, I listen to Christian, Southern gospel.
Well, I guess my point, Philip, is that music is a very liberating platform where it is a place where it's probably one of the best places in the world where you can express yourself in an art form. And while you may have found that objectionable last night, the majority of the people thought it was a fantastic show.
We're going to call that art? A woman?
Yes, yes.
And pregnant on top of it, touching herself?
Well, you're kind of boxing me in a corner here, Philip, but I'm going to say yes. Art is really, it's an individual exercise. And just because you don't like it doesn't mean I can't like it or someone else does like it.
Well, did you think it was appropriate for our children to watch?
Well, I thought it was exactly what I expected from her, yes.
Well, no wonder our children don't even know whether a dog or a cat.
Well, Philip, I think you're being rather short-sighted with that extremely narrow view. I run into children all the time. I mean, it is 2023, Philip. You do understand that, don't you?
Yes, I don't think our morals ought to be lowered to this standard just because it's 2023.
Philip, I'm not going to debate modern music versus Hank Sr., your cheating heart. What do you think that was about?
Well, let's debate that sin is reproached to any people and righteousness exalteth a nation and see where our nation is today.
So Philip, you're suggesting that the fall of that Rihanna is at the heart of the problems in the world today? You really believe that?
No, but us accepting things like that is the fall of our nation.
You were obviously alive when Elvis Presley came out in 1954. He was pretty. You think that was immoral?
No, and it wasn't nothing like this. I mean, there's a lot of people thought it was.
Well, no, I mean, Elvis in the 50s nearly got arrested.
Well, I think
he was shaking his hips, and they called him Elvis the Pelvis.
What
do you think he was suggesting with his music?
It's far from cry from this, Paul, and you know that.
No, I'm saying that, Philip, may I also ask you this question? You were watching the game, obviously. The halftime show came on. Could you answer me one question? Can you answer me this? Philip, you still there?
Yes.
Were you being held hostage last night while you were watching the halftime show? Did someone have a gun at your head forcing you to watch that?
No, I went outside and looked at the beautiful sky instead of watching all of it.
But so you didn't really see it. You just saw a minute of it, or you heard about it.
I saw a good bit of it enough to know it appalled me. And I was embarrassed because my granddaughter was sitting here watching the game with us.
Yeah, well. Well, Philip, I'm sorry that you were. But I think you as a parent or a grandparent, if you were that concerned, probably should have shut it off. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.